Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Are you ready for the word of God tonight? You know, one thing that I know that the Lord wants to do tonight, Father, open our spirits to your word. Open our spirits to your word. Open our spirits to all that you have for us. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God wants to help us. I feel like there's been a lot of emphasis on evangelism lately, right? So much. Funny enough, it wasn't even how I expected that the Lord would take us, but it's been what has been happening. And God wants to help you discern. Where are your Bibles? Wow, it's a couple things. It's Elijah. How about your writing materials, notepads? All right, glory to God. You see, God wants to help us discern pardon that He's trying to give us. How many of you have received pardon over the past 3 weeks? Certain things that God has put in your heart that you must see and get done for His kingdom, you write. But God wants to help us receive pardon. He wants to help us discern the type of lives that He wants us to live. He wants to help us discern the help that He is giving us. Hallelujah. You know, open your Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 41. I want to show you something out of there. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I have a word for you, Jennifer. But I don't know how to give a word usually when I know what is going on with somebody. So it makes it harder for me sometimes. For example, I don't know how to give my wife a word of knowledge. Because sometimes God gives me a word in my heart as a confirmation of something. But because I know that she's going through that, it's not my mind. I know it's not my mind, but I have a word for you. So I'll share after this service. Glory to God. John chapter 6, verse 41. Are you ready to read? You know what? I'm going to read because of time. Amen? Just follow me as I read. In John chapter 6, verse 41, the Bible says, "The Jews then complained about him because he said, 'I am the bread which come down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said to them, 'Do not murmur amongst yourself. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I would raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that all shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.'" Verse 46. "Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God has seen the Father." Verse 47. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." Are you following? Verse 8. "I am the bread of life." Verse 49. Not 8, 48, right? Verse 49. "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die." 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will what? Live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Verse 60. Everybody wants to go? "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" Hallelujah. I'll give you the backstory to this. You know, Jesus, like our modern day preacher today, had many people following him. He was followed by a lot of people. And so one time, he was coming to preach. And people had been looking for him. Where is Jesus? Where's the miracle worker? And then they saw the disciples coming on a boat from Capernaum. But Jesus was not on the boat. They had been waiting for him. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And then when they saw the disciples coming, they didn't see Jesus. Guess what everybody, what they did? All of them got on the boat and went to the other side to go and meet Jesus there. You know, what we're seeing here is that these people chased after God. Are you listening to me? They wanted more. They were looking for Jesus. A lot of people were following Jesus at this time. What you would call Jesus' ministry at that time would be a mega church. Are you getting what I'm saying? He had that size of people with a lot of people following him at the time. He had the numbers. He had the influence. So much so that people entered a boat to go see him. Let's read verse 26 of John 6. Are you all there? Verse 26, are you all there? Alright, it says, Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate what? Can we read it together? One, two, go. Verse 26, read. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27, do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which does what? Endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has done what? Set his seal on. Listen, the people had been following him. They had proof of pursuit. They had proof of followership. The fact that they could cross to the other side. They traveled to go see Jesus. That's what it meant. They could go that far to see him. So they had proof. If you wanted proof that these people, they chase after the things of God, well, you could see. But they got to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He said, you don't seek me because of the signs. You seek me because of what? Because of the loaves that you ate. What loaves is he talking about? He's talking about the multiplication of bread. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So they were seeking him for what? Do. For the food that he could give them. That was why they. So even though Jesus knew they were searching for him, he could discern their motives. Please, are you listening to me? He could what? He knew what they needed and he knew what they wanted. He had what they needed, but he wasn't ready to continue to give them just what they wanted. Are you listening to me? Listen, every good pastor wants in your life, you will come to that point where you have to make a decision. Do I continue to feed the people what they want? Or do I feed them what they need? And you as members will come to a point in your life where you would have to make a decision and say, will I still be comfortable in the church even if I don't hear what I want to hear, but I hear what I need to hear? Please, are you following me, somebody? This is important. Are you listening to me? This is important. Because even though Jesus had a seeker-sensitive approach to ministry, where he wanted to gather all the people, he ate with sinners, he wasn't afraid to call out their motives. Because even though he wanted all men saved, he would not just give them what they want, still give them what they need. Are you listening to me? It was not just about what they wanted. It was about what they needed. So Jesus called it out. You know, I remember, was it Desola who was telling me about someone who came to our church and got home and asked, that your church now? They used to do worship. You know, listen, as much as we try to be seeker sensitive, and we would do that, by getting the worship experience up, by doing everything we want to do. How was last week Sunday? Good. You know, we can continue to improve from there. Amen. But we must realize that beyond it, there's something that is important. Because if we take every good music and we change it, it stops being to God. So the lyrics are much more important than even the melody. The melody only aids worship. Is that you getting what I'm teaching you? It only aids the worship. If we get a screen here in the name of Jesus, I prophesy, we receive soon. Might not be here, but somewhere else. But listen, if we get a screen here, we get lights and everything, the ambience, all it will do is aid your experience. But there is still something that is more important. Because if you have all the lights and ambience, but you don't have the word, it becomes a concert. Are you following me? So it's not just enough that you are expecting what you want from church. The same way these guys were expecting what they want, it's important that you must know when you are receiving what you need. Are you learning something, somebody? Are you following me? Are you following me? Okay. Are you tired? No, sir. Say no, sir. Amen. So success in the will of God is not just in numbers. A good pastor will continue to give you what you need. You know what is causing the church to grow? When I say grow, I'm talking increase in size. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And this was Jesus' death. So in John chapter 6, verse 28, are you in 28, everybody? The Bible says, then they said to him,
What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Verse 29, everybody read together. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Verse 30, everybody. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Verse 31. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. Oh my God, listen. There's something going on here that is so powerful, it will burst your mind when you see it. You don't understand what is going there until you pay attention to it. This is a general example of their unbelief. Look at what they said. Jesus, they said, what works would we do that we may walk the walk of God? Jesus told them, I know why you are here. It's not because you see the sign. It's because of what you want. Because you ate the food. Then they said, you know what? Okay. What work will we do? How will we get to what you want us to get to? How will we receive what you have for us? How will we do the work of God? And Jesus said to them, this is the work of God. Believe in the one who is sent. Do you see that? And then what was their next question? What sign will you perform? And did not end by saying what sign they perform. They said, at least Moses gave our fathers in the wilderness manna. How many of you know that story? He said, at least Moses gave our fathers in the wilderness manna. Now listen, don't think they were right for what they said. They were in unbelief. Can I tell you why? Jesus had already multiplied bread and fish. So why were they still asking him for a sign? Moses multiplied bread. Jesus did what? Is that not sign enough? Hey, are you getting what I'm saying? Is that not sign enough? When Jesus did that, the expectation would be that they will see and say, ah, that's the Messiah. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's the Messiah. He has done what Moses did. But no, they still said, what sign will you show us? And in verse 32, can we read together? Everybody, one, two, go. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is who? He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 34. Then they said to him, Lord, do what? Are you seeing what is going on in this text? What they wanted was the same bread that would fill them. But rather than, you know, Jesus could have given them another sign, but he was tired of giving them what they want. He was ready to give them what they need. Rather than the bread which they were going to eat, he wanted to give them the bread which is him. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because even when Moses multiplied, you know, he didn't multiply food for them, he told them that food come from heaven. They still had unbelief. Do you remember the story? God said, come out and pack. Don't save any food. I will always provide for you. What did they do? They saved. This is what I'm saying. They saved. Because they were not ready to listen. So listen, when the devil met Jesus and he said, turn stone to bread. What did Jesus say? He said that man shall not live by what? Bread alone, by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He was quoting the same thing that was said in Deuteronomy. Because the thing in Deuteronomy was about obedience to the instruction of God. Listen, God could have made food come anyhow. God could have made their stomach receive food. It was not about the method. It was about obedience. It was about the fact that the word of God is the life of God. If God says that you should go out and pick food and take no order, it is better to obey. It was not about bread. And you get what I'm teaching you. So if they had gone out and they had picked, if God wanted manna to fall from the sky for 100 years, he would have made it happen. All they needed to do was what? Obey. You're learning something. All they needed to do was what? Obey. And so now Jesus is saying something similar. He's saying, rather than that bread you are looking for, receive the bread that I am. Let's continue reading verse 33. He says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. Have we read that already? So let's read 36. One, two, go. But I said to you, 35, okay, one, two, go. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger again. Shall never what? Thirst again. Verse 36. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who has sent me. 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should what? Lose nothing, but should raise it up at what? The last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have what? Everlasting life. And I would what? So Jesus wanted to give them life. If he had multiplied the bread again, they would not have received what they needed. They would have received what they wanted. But he knew that at a point, I have to stop these people and say, I'm not going to multiply bread again for you. I am the bread you need. Please, are you getting this, somebody? I am what? The bread you need. If you look at their response in verse 41 and 42, they said, the Bible says, then the Jews complained and said, because he said, I'm the bread which came from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he's saying, I've come down from heaven? Can you see that? Listen, you must change your approach towards God's word. Even the miracles in your life are a testament that it is God's life. Are you listening? Even the miracle. Because a time will come when you must not only seek God for what he can give you in terms of the miracles or the solutions on this earth, but you seek him because what he can give you with respect to eternity. Are you getting what I'm saying? So every time you receive a miracle, don't just stop at the miracle. Remember that the one who saved you and who healed you is also the Savior. Please, are you learning something, somebody? Miracles point you ultimately to the saving God. If you get all the miracles in the world and you are not saved eternally, you've lost. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? Are you here, everybody? So don't fall into the trap of seeking God for the bread that he gives instead of the bread that he is. Because every miracle will point you to the miracle God, who is also your Savior. There is a salvific angle to every miracle. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's a salvific angle to every miracle. That when God heals you, he shows you his reputation to save you. I hope you are getting it. So, don't stay on that miracle. Look for someone with the Lord. See, a lot of people get stuck to miracles to the point where their walk with God and their relationship with God is heavily centered on what God can do for them. And that's why the moment it doesn't happen, there's a problem. You see what I'm saying? There's a problem in their walk with God. There's a problem in their relationship with God. There's a problem in how they respond to the things of the Spirit. Sometimes God wants you to learn that I know you've come here for your belly to be filled, but listen, I am the bread come from heaven. I have done the most important thing I can do to show you that I love you, salvation. The outcome of all of that is that if I could freely give you salvation, never doubt that I will heal. Are you learning something? If I could give you salvation, never doubt that I can solve your problems. And just what if it looks like there's a delay? Well, don't forget that I'm still the God who saves. Are you listening to what I'm teaching you, everybody? This is important. This is important. So never miss the point. Let's go to verse 60. I want you to read verse 60 with me. We're going to read it to verse 63. Are you ready? All right, let's read together. I want to go. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? 62. What then? The Son of Man ascend. Now 63, everybody read, one, two, go. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and life. This is how he wants you to receive the word. He says, the words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit. And they are what? Life. They are spirit and life. The word that Jesus has for you is the word that can save. That's what he was telling them. I can multiply bread for you now. That would not save you. It will save you for a time. So, man shall live by obedience. That was what it was about. Even when they were receiving manna. Can you obey the instruction and just take food? That was what he was also at the temptation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth. So listen, your sustenance is in obedience to the word. Not just obedience, it's in how you receive the word. He says, the words I speak to you are spirit. And have you learned to receive the words of God as spirit and life? Do you know what that means? The word of God is active and it can produce results. A spirit and life. Spirit. It can fulfill and it can give life. Is that how you receive the words of God? I'm teaching you a better way to receive prophetic words. The words I speak to you are what? Spirit. If you learn to treat the word of God as spirit and life, you see a great manifestation of it in your life. They are spirit. I receive it as spirit. And I receive it as life. Every prophetic word you receive, every instruction from God you receive, say they are spirit and they are life. Say they are spirit and they are life. So no matter how long it is, the words of God are what? Spirit. This, are you learning something? Spirit, they are life. This is how God told us that it's our year of the Holy Ghost. Did you really let that sink? Did you receive that as spirit? Or have you forgotten already? And have you put it to practice? Spirit. You're building a new season in your life. Pay attention. Because what you do now is the foundation for many things to come. So it's almost like you're building a new system. So I see a possibility of getting carried away. Now, not an insult, but I see a possibility of easily thinking of this period as a gap year or like a borrowed period. But the instruction is, I didn't plan to keep words, but the instruction is, remember that it's your life and it's an important part. So treat it as you hold any other part of your life. Make the investments that you hold at any other type of part of your life. Chase the things that would help you get to the standard you want to set for your life as you hold any other time of your life, because it's very important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to continue. He said it's our year of the Holy Ghost. He promised us help. He promised us assurance. He promised us backing. I told you this at Crossover, right? How many of you have gone to study to Crossover again? Not many. Amen. Well, maybe this will help you go back to listen to it. I gave you 5 ways that God wants to help you by His Spirit. He said, number one, He wants to assure you of your place with Him by His Spirit. And I said some things under that. Number one, I said the establishment of the gospel in Windsor. Forgotten. Are you living like it? Maybe not well enough. Do you live like it? It has, things have to change. The establishment of the gospel in Windsor. We received it. And we have to live like it. We have to live like it. Everybody near us will receive impact and growth. Can it be possible that Windsor becomes known for being the place where fervent men are? Can we create that track record? Can we set up a revival in this city that will last a long time? Can we just begin to talk to all our friends that, see, we are going to work, you must catch fire. Church is praying, come. You don't feel like it, you are not serious, better come. Don't tell them that I'm kidding, but do you get what I'm saying? I'm just saying, be real with them. And you push. Can we just push? Everybody here is as a result of someone else pushing. You see what I'm saying? But how about you? Well, he said, he told us there's strength for the work in Nigeria. I told them that it would be weapon for us, and I told them this. He said, revival fire by me. He reminded me of the word that he told us. He said, that will be catalysts of the move of God in our generation. We will speed it up. So what would have taken city years to achieve, we will speed it up because we are here. Are you listening to me, everybody? So get ready to get. Listen, by now I should be hearing people ask me, Pastor, how are we going to do things you said we'll do? Pastor, when is 1,000 Souls Win So Much started? Pastor, how are we going to start the fellowship we said we'll start in the university? That's what I want to hear. Are you listening to me? Because God has promised He will help us, but it will not work if we don't do something about it. We must give the Holy Ghost something to work with. When He met Moses, He said, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. Threw it. Became a snake. They ask you what is in your hand. Are you prepared enough to be able to say, God, you know what? I am bold. You can walk with me through that. God, I have a connection at this place. You can walk. What can I do? What can I do? I'm not motivating. I want you to get to the place where you understand that this is your life. Please, are you listening to me? He said there will be a revival crusade by January. So don't think I'm pressuring you too much. 1 month has gone. By February. 1 month has gone. I'm not pressuring you. Don't do it now. By June, you'll still be saying I would. So get wear everything you need to wear and get in shape. Amen. Get in shape. He said evangelical exploits. We will see in the name of Jesus. Establishment for ministries and institutions for the gospel. Anything the Lord has asked us to start for the gospel, we start in the name of Jesus. And he said assignment and responsibility to attract grace. He told us that. So maybe the reason why you've not seen the grace is because you've not started. I sing to me, Manambo, I Kamarua Sevele. The things that you need for the assignment, the grace you need for it, is when you start. Maybe that's why you've not seen it, because he said he will back you up. If you do, it will come. If you don't, number two, he said he wants to call you of order by his spirit. Order by his spirit. To hold on to the word. God, declare it every day. You've promised us order by your spirit. No confusion in my life. Put my academics in order. Put my finances in order. Put my life in order. Amen. Listen. The true test of any reception of the word of God is an ability to put it to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the true test. If I say I received a mandate, it would not have been tested if I did not come to a new city. That's what I'm saying. So the true test is an opportunity to put, which is what has happened to me, and which is what a lot of you need to put to practice. I've received it, I put it to you. Amen. Number three, God wants to assure you of empowerment and authority by his spirit, walking in his presence. Did you forget? I taught you about the manifest and the present nature of God. Some of you did not stream Abuja. Please go and stream that sermon to change your life. It's important. So if you missed anything in camp meeting, go back and stream it. It's important. He wants to assure you. And we begin to see the lame. And we begin to just have a more. Listen. You see, the supernatural is strange. It can be very strange. I don't want to say this. I should say. Right? Supernatural can be very strange. I'll tell you what I mean. You know, as men of God, I can be going through a tough time of my own, and I come to church and I pray for you, and you get a breakthrough, and mine is still there. Are you listening to me? And it's not because God is not willing to heal. There might just be a process that mine is going through, a work that needs to be done in that time. On mine, I just need to pray some more and fast some more. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, regardless of what you're going through, you have healing hands. Keep healing. Do you understand? You can do it to a point where it stirs up a type of faith in you that your own healing happened. I remember one day, I put my hand on my head. So, don't lose faith. Are you okay, Rhoda? Amen. I have a lot to do, but service. I've not even got it. Stop it. Let's do service on it. Thursday, rather. Number four, God wants to assure you of sponsorship by his spirit. Dynamic spread. He wants to teach you how to partner with him for massive influence. More signs and wonders and impact through you. More angelic ministrations. I told you what happened in the week of fasting and prayer, Abby. I gave you the testimony. How many of you put it to practice yourself? I've not yet seen results. No. Okay. Listen. When it comes to the supernatural, just be tenacious and hold your faith. Just be.
Amen.
Supernatural sight. Supernatural insight. He told us all this. We would insist. God wants to assure you of speed by his spirit. Walk, run, fly. Power of the Holy Ghost. Some of you, by the time you see that the miracle had been happening, is in the middle, you just back and say, this was happening. I took no note of it. Just watch and see. Listen, in my capacity as a shepherd, I want to prepare you. Because when God starts to walk, I want to make sure that you are ready for the kind of work he wants to do. Do you guys have enough time today? Can you give me till what's the 7:43 night now? When can you give me to? Can you give me to 8:30? Because when God starts to work, he wants to meet you prepared. He wants to meet you ready. You know the kind of world you live in? In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. He says, and Jesus came and spoke with them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to what? Observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you, even till what? The end of the age. Luke chapter 24 verse 46, he says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to die and be risen from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of the sin be what? Preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And it says, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. It says, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put his own authority. Verse 8, can you all read together? And you shall receive power, you are not there, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, but you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and to what? The ends of the earth, the uttermost part of what? The earth. These are four accounts of the Great Commission. And in none of them is the believer excused from preaching the gospel. Are you listening to me? And all of them said all the world. They did not say one part. Are you listening to me? It's important. The Bible talks about you and who you should be in the world you are. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. It says, if the salt loses its savor, how shall it be seasoned? You have a role to play. He says, it is then good for nothing. God forbid I will be good for nothing. In verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15, he says, neither I here, lama noate. He says, no one lights a candle to be covered by a basket. You were not made the light of the world to be hidden. Have you ever seen light and darkness? Has it ever happened that if this light is on now, is it possible for darkness to come and overshadow it? No. But if this room was dark, what will happen when light comes? It will dissipate the darkness. That's the kind of potency you have. It says you are the light of the world. So why are you hiding under a basket? Amen? Take off the basket. It says you are the light of the world. No one lights a candle to put it under a bushel. Do all God has asked you to do. Because if you don't shine your light, darkness is lurking. You know, the Apostle Paul was speaking in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men. He said, suppress the truth. Now, can you read it? Romans chapter 1 verse 18. Open your Bibles quickly. Thank you. There he goes.
Romans 1:18. Are we ready? Let's read together. One, two, go.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. What do they do? Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness?
Oh my God.
Verse 19, what does it say? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood. What does that mean? It means that the fact that God exists and the fact that God is real has been shown in creation. He says there are men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That is, they know truth. See, this is why your life, because you live in a dark world. You live in a world with men who want to suppress the truth. Because if it's not that you're trying to suppress the truth, why do you spend all your time trying to prove that there is no God? If there is no God, why are you so hell-bent on disproving his existence? Are you listening to me? In trying to suppress, something I'm saying, Jesus.
Oh, I got it there.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Your exclamation is for something higher. But yet, he says they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In verse 21, he says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts and foolish in their hearts. He says their hearts were dark. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Sorry to say, not an insult, but we live in a world where there are a lot of people walking on the road, a lot of mentally ill people as well. Come on, have you not seen that, this must be mental ill? And this is the reason why you must know why you're here. You must know the kind of light you have to shine. It says they profess to be wise, but they become fools. You know, I was walking on the road one time. Oh my God, I was so scared to my bones. I was walking on university, just not university now, that's Wyandot. I walked from my house. I came to Wyandot Street. I walked. Wanted to evangelize. I could not talk to one person. I was so scared. Finally, I just stopped this, you know, Asian lady. I don't know what part of Asia she's from. You know, I just met her. You know, the worst thing is that as I said this now, they will say I'm doing microaggression. That's why did I assume? Is that not mentally? Is that not mentally? Do you know what I mean? Just by at saying now that she's Asian, there's actually a term for what I just, and it's called microaggression, meaning that I cannot look at you and identify who you are or where you are from by what I see. Are you normal? But well, online community I spoke for this one is well. Amen. So I went to her and spoke. I told her, what do you believe? And I asked simple questions. She spoke about science, evolution and stuff. I said, okay, in evolution, how do you still, who created the first monkey? Because even though you say we come from monkeys, well, someone still has to create the first monkey. Amen. I get them. So in the end, we concluded that it takes more faith science than it takes to believe in God. Think about the Big Bang. A Big Bang happened, poof, the world started. So you said the world functions with cause and effect, right? That is, something must have caused it to start. And then in your bid to look for what caused it to start, you said it's a Big Bang that caused it to start. Boom. Well, we said, you know what? There is a God who caused it to start. Now you are asking, and listen, they also believe that there cannot be infinite past. You understand what I'm saying? That is, if something causes something to happen, there cannot also be infinite past, meaning there must be something at the beginning. This is what I'm saying. Then we now tell you that, you know what, that thing at the beginning is God. He created the world. He started the world. He now tell us that if God created the world, who created God? Is something disturbing? You just told us now that there cannot be infinite past. Then we told you that whatever started the world cannot itself have a beginning. That's why there is no beginning of God. You see what I'm saying? But you see, as us created God, if we tell you who created God, you are creating the same problem of infinite past. Are you getting what I'm saying, everybody? So, in professing to be wise, you see foolishness everywhere. There's a black hole. It exploded. Wow. They say, Chris, that religion is the greatest cop-out. No. That Big Bang is a cop-out. So, the Big Bang happened, poof, and every system started to form. Every system. Then water shifted. Land shifted. Organism started to come out. The earth is perfectly positioned from the sun. Too close will be too cold. Too far will be too hot. Too close will be too hot. Too far will be too cold. An evolution for everything. Wow. That's a complex system that cannot happen. Question is, why has it not happened like that after? What in this world occurs on its own, so arranged, apart from nature that started on its own? See what I'm saying? If things explode today, do they arrange on the starter? Is that you getting what I'm saying? He says that professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. He says, and change the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like corruptible man, birds, and forces and animal like things. And he says, therefore, God gave them up to the uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, he gave them up to vile passions. He says, for their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. He says, likewise also, the men living the natural use of women, they bond in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty for the error. Are you seeing what he's saying? Literally. Please, do you understand what I'm teaching? And this is why you must wake up. He says they didn't retain God, their knowledge. So, there is a world out there that has defined things differently. And so you have to step in. There's a world out there that believes in the universe without a God, but yet refuse to accept that the universe that you believe in has identified you male and female by your genitals. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Choose one. Are you getting it? That's what we're discussing. What we're discussing today, because everything I'm talking about is titled under something called a worldview. And even you and I have a worldview. Even the fact that I don't accept some of these things is also my worldview. You see what I'm saying? So what is a worldview? A worldview is an intellectual perspective on the world or on the universe. How do we perceive the universe? It's important to know that worldview is a borrowed term from philosophy. You see what I'm saying? It's a borrowed term from philosophy. It's a way of thinking about truth and reality, and it sums up the basic conclusions of life. It's a way of thinking. And so if you're going to reach out to people in the world, you must understand worldview. Amen? So you can know how your worldview stands with respect to other worldviews as well. You know, the Apostle Paul did something similar, using the poets of one of the guys in Athens to preach to them. So you must understand the people you're trying to reach out to. So how do you handle worldview? Do you know some of the people you are up against? Do you know how they think? Do you know what they believe? If you want to listen, if God sets you up, a Hindu, a person who practices, how are you ready? Do you feel capable enough to have a simple conversation? Or it's my job to prepare you, or at least try to introduce to some of these worldviews. So I can't do everything. I'll just start with one today. This is not a series for the month. This is just a pop-in series. I just started today. So another time I have time, I'll just do the part two. You see what I'm saying? Another time we'll do part three. Do part four. Amen? Is that good? Today was supposed to be question and answer, but I said, you know what, it's important that I begin to equip you guys
with some of these things. Hallelujah.
So, some of the questions that worldviews try to attempt are, number one, what is reality?
I'll not give you the technical name, I'll just tell you. Or do you want the technical name? Okay, I'll say it after. So, what is reality? That's what worldviews try to answer. What is the nature of reality? What is real? See?
Because tell me honestly, is it not a mental illness when someone does not know what is real from what is not real?
You know the problem?
The majority of us have no problem finding what is real. But a lot of people have come to a point where they want to make a point from exceptions. This is what I'm saying. So the fact that there's a 2% or 10% of people who cannot figure out what is real, does that mean it is all of our reality?
Are you seeing what I'm saying?
The fact that there's a 1%, 2% of people who don't feel right in their body, does that mean that the world has failed in classifying him?
Are you getting what I'm teaching?
So what is reality? Is there purpose to existence? Where are we from? Are the questions that they try to answer with that. Number two, what is the nature of external reality? Is the world created? Is it autonomous? Is it chaotic? Is it matter or is it spirit? Or is it spirit and matter? What is in the world? Number three, what is a human being? Are we highly complex machines? And you might not understand, but the person who has are we sleeping gods? Or are we higher animals? You might not understand, but the person believes that we are higher animals who justify sleeping around because dogs don't have one connected partner. Are you seeing how worldviews can affect the way people live their life? Hold on. Are we higher animals? Are we naked apes? Or dead apes? Are you getting what I'm saying? However this is determines your outlook on life. What happens to a person at death? Is it a transformation to a higher state? Is there an afterlife? What happens to your consciousness? And how do we know what is right from what is wrong? And then lastly, I added this. Is there a God and what?
Is that you getting this?
Listen, the aim of this is not just to be an intellectual discussion, it's to be spiritual.
Amen?
I might borrow terms to help you understand, but the goal is to equip you to know. Now, let me give you some of those technical names and technical words. So please don't zone out here because of you.
Amen? All right, so epistemology is one of the questions that they are trying to answer, and that is, what is your belief about nature and the source of knowledge? If you ever did philosophy, you have heard this. Epistemology. Metaphysics, that's your belief about the nature of reality. Okay? Cosmology, where you should know that. The origin of the world. All right? And the nature of the universe. Teleology is the belief about meaning and purpose of the universe. Then theology, what? The belief about God, the sense of God. All right? Anthropology is the belief about the nature and purpose of man. And then axiology is when it comes to morals, good or bad. How do we know what is good from bad? Does that make sense? All right, so there are many worldviews, but I've tried to classify them into four major parts that would help you. We'll only be discussing the first part. Okay? Amen? Hallelujah? Amen. All right. So, number one, we're going to be talking about pantheism. P-A-N-T-H-E-I-S-M. Theism is the belief of God. Polytheism is that there are many gods. Pantheism. What it means. Okay? Are you learning something? Why we still? Some of you begin to mix.
So what is pantheism? Pantheism is the view that God is everything and everyone, and everything is God.
Right? No, I was working in a place a few years ago, I think 2 years ago, and one guy said this to me the first time. I felt like he was mad. Like, bro, what are you saying?
He was like, you're a god,
bro.
And so here's the thing. I tried to convince him. He seemed to agree with me on many. He didn't doubt the existence of God. But how can I evangelize to him? If you meet someone that believes, how can you evangelize to him? Pantheism is a bit more than just polytheism. They don't have a problem with many gods, but they believe that God is in everything. A rock is God, an animal is God, the sky is God, the sun is God, you are God. You see? And you would face many people who think this way, because it was one of the earliest ways that people thought about the framework of the world around them. And it has continued today. You see pantheism in religions like Hinduism, in Buddhism, other nature worshippers, New Age. Have you heard of New Age? Or you might face people who believe this thing. For example, Hinduism. Pantheism holds that, so this is an Hinduistic belief. So pantheism holds that the entire universe with its trillions of galaxies is God. They call that Brahman. And everything is Brahman. Brahman is consciousness. Brahman is all that is. I'll spell Brahman, B-R-A-H-M-A-N. All right? Brahman is everything. Brahman is consciousness. I'll tell you some people that are here. The people you evangelize to that wear a turban, this is where they fall. So it becomes useful to understand why they think. You understand? So, they say there's a problem with us thinking that God is, that is a single God. And they say the problem is that if you say God created the world from nothing, then who created God? So for them, they believe that they don't have that problem, because if God is the universe and the universe came to be, then God came to be as the universe. You see what I'm saying? So that's it. But I answered the question about that already. So the answer to the question that if God created the universe, who created God, makes no sense, because God exists outside of space and time. So you can't ask for the beginning of God if God created beginnings, space and time. Do you see what I'm saying? So whatever created the world, first of all, has to be immaterial, because he created material time. Do you see what I'm saying? Number two, it has to be outside of space and time. This is what, because he created space and time. Number three, he has to be personal, because nothing works without a cause. So he must have a reason to cause the world to be. And he has to be personal. And the only thing that fits all these things, there are actually five, but the only thing that fits all the five is a transcendent and immaterial outside of space and time, having a mind, being. That's God. Does that make sense? Make sense? See the way this one is looking at me like, how is this man breaking all these things out of his head? Amen. So, let's talk about some Hinduism beliefs. Number one, Brahman is pure consciousness. So, anyone who has raised his consciousness to that level enters a higher state. That's why they will agree with you about Jesus, but they believe Jesus was a man who attained higher consciousness. That's why he could do it. That's why they made it. To attain higher consciousness. So, when they attain higher consciousness, dualism is taken away, in the sense that they become one with Brahman, Brahman becomes one with them. You see what I'm saying? So to even enter there, sometimes they have to let go of everything natural that they have. They can't connect. You see, all of us that watch Avatar, that's what they were teaching. Last Airbender. That was what Monkey Asu had to do. That's what Aang had to do when he had to leave Katara, where he had to meditate and leave anything he held on to in this world and attain a higher state. I think that's my good teaching material. Did you watch Avatar Last Airbender? You love it? I love it. I love it. I can't accept slander to it, but it's the truth. This is what I'm saying. So, hence, the knower of Brahman is Brahman itself, and the process of observing, the object of observation, dissolves into oneness. See that? Become one with Brahman. Number two, Brahman takes the form of Trinity, creation, preservation, and destruction. That's why there's that balance in their meditation. They use the word sound, that word. Meditate. Then the mind is destroyed. The mind is not destroyed until all the desires are uprooted by contemplation on Brahman and being steadfast in the meditation to attain higher consciousness. Well, pop culture pantheism is the belief in universe. You get that? So it's been... witchcraft has been rebranded. Sorry, pantheism has been rebranded as, you know, And shortly, you begin to get this thing. So the universe is telling me. So you're seeing how they reject every idea of God, but accept every. No, the worst part is that you say, oh, pastor, because there is when he says that there's an agenda against me. Do you know?
I mean, you graduated now. Was there no bed for graduation? Okay, maybe. My own graduation, there was a guy wearing bed attire. He were blowing incense on us as coming. Yes, they're coming. And there was a woman that came to pray. Oh, yeah, we had well. She said all the blev. So we pray that the mother nature, the earth.
My question, if a pastor dares pray there, problem. So, in majority of the world, not the funniest thing, forward-thinking people upon this. And forward-thinking people that you to be on the top cater of money. The problem is that people want to reject a God that puts them in a confine. Think about it. Why are you angry with God?
Hey, listen.
Why are you angry with God that God said that you should? Why are you not angry with the universe if you believe that the universe is God? Why are you not angry with the universe for that? Have you seen anybody cry at the universe? People who even believe that the universe is God, do they get angry at the universe? Why are you not fighting the universe or mother nature that feeds a rabbit, that feeds a lion with a rabbit? Are you getting what I'm saying? But make God to man's promise, which is not possible. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So the problem is that people cannot be accountable to a God. You don't really think the universe is real. That's why you cannot. Are you not holding the universe accountable? Believe in it. For earthquakes too. Why would the universe cause billions of people to die?
God bless you.
Why? So, pantheism posits that every God is an extension of a divine essence. They also say that you learn by looking within, so you meditate to receive knowledge. See, but that doesn't mean. But they think that by meditation you get that knowledge. They believe that morality, that is sin, and ignorance of your true state, that everyone is inherently. And they believe in reincarnation, that when you die, you enter a cycle where you are born again as a dog, rat, fly. Amen. New Age thinking also is close to that. You know, the New Age New Age thinking is also here. The New Age movement appeals to the feelings of individuals, leading them to think that they are God, and so they can enhance their lives through their person. This is what I'm saying. They just need to think higher. I'll give you a few points on thinking. Number one, humanity has fallen into ignorance. Okay? Humanity has fallen into what? Ignorance. That's what they think. And so we need to ascend to enlightenment. Have you heard people talk like this? They said all is God. And if all is God, including God, then one must conclude that all is God and God is all. You see that? So, all is God, meaning everything is God. But it's the next one that blows your mind. That there is a change in consciousness. Because if all is God and God is all, if we are God, we need to know we are God. So, we must become consciously aware that we are God. So, we can act like God and become God. Because if we are in sync, yes, we are in sync with God, then God can function. Do you see that? It's not even true us because they are not. They don't believe in two separate. They believe that you become God. God becomes as God. Exactly. Do you see that? So they also believe that they can create their own reality by changing what they believe and focusing on it. Then the worst is that they make contact with spirits, mediums, and channelers from on spirit.
Let them see you. I don't know what they do, but they call them channelers and spirit guides. Now, because of time, I would move very fast. So I had a lot to teach, but my time is fast spent. I'll show you one of the ways that pantheism has functioned in Hinduism. So, because of all of these things, they strongly believe in karma. Karma, bad karma, you've heard all of those things. So that's why when you're preaching to a person about Jesus and all of those things, they just believe in karma. It's one of the easiest ways to get them. Talk about how they pay for their bad stuff. Well, it's sad because they also believe in reincarnation. So they believe that all the things they do here, they will have to pay in another life. Or in this life, depending. Now, when you go out and you talk to them, you must realize very quickly that they grew up in the olden days and it's something still. There was something based on the caste system in India and in practice. And the caste system is sort of a way that they believe that your reincarnation, your soul is in four different levels. Alright? Your soul is in four different levels. And the four different levels of your soul, you become reincarnated into those different levels. I'll see if I can get the names of the levels. I can't remember the names of the levels, but you are born into four levels. So, the worst level might be first level would be a human, definitely. And then your soul, if you are reborn as a dog, you are in the second level or third, I don't know where it falls, based on the kind of animal you are reborn as. So, if you do good in this life, well, you can be a human again or a dog, something that is treated well. But if you do bad in this life, you can be born as a fly, says a fly, or a pig. You see what I'm saying? Now, it got worse because they now started to practice a caste system in their economy. There were four varnas. The Brahmins, which were the priestly class, the Kshatriyas, which were the warriors, the Vaishyas, which were the merchants, salesmen, the Shudras, which were the labor class. Outside of these, there were people labeled unfortunate. They had four classes of people in their society. They started interpreting that karma and reincarnation to their real life living. So they had these four classes. You are outside of these four classes, you are labeled untouchable. And what they call the people who are untouchable are people that are in abject poverty. Worst of the worst of the class. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The worst of the worst of the class. So if you are in any of these four classes, you are fine. Actually, the classes were now affected by skin color. Have you noticed that you rarely see, there are a lot of black people. And now, because cities is normal practice, but in villages, it's still heavy. And Hinduism actually supported those things because of the caste system. So this is what they believe, that you are in your class because of the past life. So the ones who were untouchable suffer, and nobody will help you. Because if they help you, maybe they are spoiling your karma. You are not paying enough for your past, so you can come back badly. And then those ones who easily accept it because they believe. So if nobody helps them, well, they are not struggling. And they are suffering in abject poverty. And no one can help them because then they also believe they are suffering for their past life. And if anybody helps them, they might come back worse again in another life. Say look. So that's where the pain is, that if you are not touchable now and you die and you meet judgment, there's no reincarnation, you go to hell again because you don't believe in God. So that's why you must preach. Are you seeing why you must preach? My friend told me, beggars suffer in this life and now go and say, you must preach. So that reincarnation idea was what helped it drive. I heard it's not as frequent among major cities, but people are still suffering because of the caste system. So listen, discrimination is still there. I said that to say a few. Now I'll talk about the reincarnation and the flaws of the reincarnation idea. because of time, let's start with logical flaws of pantheism. Are we ready? Now, you know the people we are talking about. I mean, this is how you begin to understand the saints and other people that we talk to. Now, number one, if the material universe is divine, then all parts of it are divine, including flowers, chair, anything I do. I don't know. If I even slap somebody. Number two, all parts of the material universe is divine, then cancer is divine. I'm just showing you the flaws in the room. That begins to raise a question, which is my third point. How can God, who is the material universe, then house both of itself? Good, bad. Is the universe good? Universe bad. So that's the problem, because yin yang is a different concept. If you're trying to bring it, because if you say God, Brahman is the universe consciousness, is Brahman good or not? And that brings me to the fourth point. How then did mankind define good from bad? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if both good and bad are in Brahman, how do we know what is bad? How did mankind come to form ideas on what is wrong? Because we have to know, is divine consciousness good or is bad? If you say two of them are in him, then how do we know? And how did we separate good from bad? Maybe what we are doing that is bad now is actually, and the good we are doing is actually bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those are some of the flaws. Then when we get to the reincarnation, well, some of the problems are this. Number one, reincarnation becomes unfair. I'll tell you why. While you can't remember the former things you did. Do you see what I'm saying? So you are just being punished for something you cannot remember. Punishment is as important as memory. So if you can't remember, what's the point of punishment? Number one. Number two, they said, oh, if we continue to progress, humanity in the long run. But humanity is still as bad as it was. Also, it urges that you should not interfere with another person's suffering, because he might just be suffering from the of his past life. Remember? Ultimately, why is it only the bad that will follow me? What of all the good I did in the past life? And then it's just amen. Who keeps track? Consciousness. Brahman. Amen. Thing. Have you learned something? Was this worth your time? Alright, rise on your feet. We're going to pray. And we're just going to pray that, Lord God, as we continue to equip ourselves on knowledge about the world out there, give us the boldness to be able to preach your gospel. Give us the zeal to be able to speak your word everywhere we go. Can you begin to pray wherever you are? Lord Jesus, we declare in the name of Jesus that as we begin to equip ourselves, as we begin to learn more about the world views out there, we pray that, Lord, we have more effect.